Good to see you tonight. We appreciate that you're here. We have a good number present as we worship our God and now turn our attention to His Word. I invite you to keep your mark there in Romans 5. In just a few moments, we'll come back to that text as it will be the core of what we have prepared for our study tonight. We're going to take a few lessons, probably this one and maybe a couple more, and look at this triplet that we find several times in Scripture and in context: faith, hope, love. The familiar passage is 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This passage and these three attributes, more specifically, define and explain who we are in Christ Jesus, the life that we live as Christians: faith, hope, love. Those attributes find their way, are to find their way, and have their place in our lives, really in every aspect of our being. The greatest of these is love. Of course, the superiority and supremacy of love is because of its eternally enduring quality. It says, now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love because, you see, faith at some point is going to give way to sight. We walk by faith, not by sight at this moment, but there'll come a time when Jesus returns and the eternity begins after this world is destroyed, that what we have seeing Jesus by faith, now we're going to see Him face to face as He is, and we'll be like Him, 1 John chapter 3. So faith is going to give way to sight. We won't be living by faith any longer, but we'll be living in the very presence, actual presence of God, as opposed to our trust and our confidence in Him at this moment. Hope is going to give way to the reward. In Romans, the 8th chapter, 24 and 25, God's Word says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We've not yet seen the eternal reward. We hope, we desire and expect it, but we have not yet realized it. And so the hope is going to give way to the actual reward. But love continues. Love abides. And think about it this way, in terms of God Himself. Of course, 1 John 4, 8 says, God is love. God is the object of our faith, right? God assures our hope, but God is love. God is, I don't believe there's a verse that says God is faith or God is hope. He's the object of our faith. He assures our hope. Hebrews 6 describes that. He gives us hope. But He is, by His very nature, love, the essence of love. And so that calls us then to that abiding quality as well. So when we put those three together, faith, hope, love, they become a powerful exhortation to us to be faithful and to remain faithful, to eventually receive that for which we hope, the crown of life, that we see with eyes of faith to one day and then throughout eternity actually be in the very presence of God Himself. 2 Timothy 4, familiar passage, the apostle said that the time of his departure had arrived. He's about to die. And so in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Here's a man who had lived by faith, who had rejoiced in hope, and had love permeate his life. He'd been converted. He had not always lived by faith, nor had he had the hope at one time that Jesus provides. But God's love was revealed to him as Jesus appeared to him, called him to repentance, called him to obedience, to salvation in Christ. And now he says, I fought the fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And henceforth, or finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who've loved his appearing. Like Paul, all who have loved the appearing of Jesus, having put their faith in him, having relied in hope that what he has said is true and anticipate and desire those things that we do not yet see, the reward, and have walked in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Like Paul, we can share in that crown of life that will be rewarded by and by. Note what the Scripture says about faith. The Bible says that we're to maintain a faith that does not fail. We're repeatedly taught to strengthen our faith, to secure our faith, to not shrink back. Hebrews 10 and 39 says, we are not of those who draw back to destruction or perdition. He says, we have not obeyed the gospel to then stop living by faith. He says, no, but we're of those who believe unto the saving of the soul. To have a faith that is forward and upward moving, that saves the soul, that endures, verse 36, that keeps on until faith turns into sight. We're to maintain a hope in our lives that perseveres through the moment, that may seem bleak, may seem dark, may seem insurmountable, yet in Christ, through the promises of God, our hope is secure. Titus 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Our hope is anchored in the promise of God, assured and confident that what He has promised, He will deliver. And so we live by faith, trusting the promises of God. Love is to be that which permeates everything about us. Remember, God is love. If we as His children then are to be also loving in all respects. Remember, the first and great commandment is to love God with all of our being, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12:30. And a second likened to it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, love is to permeate everything about who we are, how we think, how we speak, how we act. A love that is defined by God Himself. Because again, as we note, God is love. And so in 1 Corinthians 16 and 14, you note the exhortation there when the apostle simply says, let all that you do be done with love. A love that God defines, a love that is agape, a love that is unselfish, that is outward looking and outward serving as it seeks the welfare of others instead of itself. The very love that we see in Jesus toward us and God toward us in His Son, Jesus Christ. So faith, hope, and love really are at the heart of what it means to live a daily life as a Christian serving the Lord. I want us to study Romans 5 for just a few minutes. First five verses of that chapter, and just let us see, this is the first of several texts that we're going to study that put these three terms together. Faith, hope, love. And this text especially, we want to see the triumph of these three things. The triumph of faith and hope and love. Let's read that one more time together. As Kyle has read it for us, let's cement it into our thinking. As he said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, Character, or approved character, tested character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Maybe you'd like to underline faith, hope, and love in your text in that passage. We're going to look at each one of them individually to see the triumph, the victory that is assigned and associated with all three. Faith, first of all, faith is our victory over sin. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even your faith, John said in 1 John 5 and verse 4. There's a victory, there is triumph over sin that only comes by faith. Now, understanding in verse 1 when he says, having been justified by faith, he's setting a contrast between the law, which could not justify. It only identified sin and identified us as sinners, and we're condemned under law. Law can't save. But there is a way of righteousness apart from the law, testified by the law and prophets, chapter 3 and 21, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, to all and on all who believe. So we have law, and we have the law, and we have the faith, the system of faith, the gospel. And it is that gospel that's going to justify all who believe. All who will have personal faith produced in their heart, in their life, as a result of the faith, the gospel. Romans 1, 16 and 17. So the first thing to note in this text is justification. The triumph over sin is that faith is a means of our justification. Now, we talked this morning about being counted worthy because of Christ, and only in Christ, and the grace and mercy and love of God in Christ that cleanses us, that He's purged us from our sins. This is that same concept. To be justified is to be acquitted of the guilt that our sin placed upon us. Justified by faith. Now, as you read in Romans 3, and we noted verse 21 or 22 already, he makes that same point. The way God counts us righteous is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's Romans 3:22. Everyone who will believe, everyone who will have personal faith. Now, it's another study to understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. He's just talking now about using belief here in its broadest and inclusive concept. The believer, of course, is the obedient one. If you don't obey, you don't believe. James 2 teaches us that. So, now in 24 of Romans 3, he uses the word justified again. And interestingly now, he talks about being justified freely by His grace. Well, see how that fits over here in chapter 5. Through Christ, we have access by faith, by the gospel, into this grace in which we stand. So God's grace is at work when our faith is at work. God's grace has been offered. Our faith works to bring us cleansing from the guilt of sin. Acquitted. Victory over sin. And he continues to look. If you'll look at verse 25 and 26 of the third chapter of Romans. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. His death appeases the wrath of God. See, we're under God's wrath when we're not Christians, when we're lost. It's God's wrath, just wrath against our sin. But God's wrath is appeased by the death of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, through faith, not through the law, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because of His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, those sins that had been previously committed, like there in the Old Testament, what actually removed those sins? Well, it wasn't the blood of animals, because they had to repeatedly offer those animals in sacrifice, which could never take away sins. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. And so there's a remembrance of sin year by year as the Day of Atonement, as the high priest went into the most holy place, sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And God accepted that, but it didn't satisfy it, the wrath of God. No, it's the blood of Jesus that does that. So when people lived by faith under the law of Moses, obeying it, keeping it, it would be the blood of the Son that God would accept on their behalf by and by. You see, and that's what he says in verse 25. But to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. Now, he says he is just, God is just, and he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Victory over sin by faith is revealed in the gospel, and it calls upon us to have individual faith, trust and obedient, a belief in Jesus that obeys him to be freed from our sin, to be justified from our sin. Chapter 4 of Romans 5 through 8 goes into it further. And here's a passage that unfortunately has been, you know, perverted by the once faith only concepts of a lot of folks through the centuries. But it says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith will be accounted to you for righteousness when you have the faith that causes you to believe Jesus is the Son of God and obey Him. Put that faith into practice." Faith, then, that faith says God will see that faith and God will count you righteous. Calvinist says, no, God will see the righteousness of Jesus and count you righteous. No, He sees your faith and He counts you righteous because of your faith. Right? And the idea of not work here is not earning salvation. We can't earn it. We can't go before God sinless. We discussed that this morning. See? And he goes on to describe that. But the point basically is faith. Now, faith, hope, love. Well, faith is the way we secure justification. Faith is also the way we secure peace with God. Peace with God and peace because sin is removed. Romans 5. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have faith, we have no peace. Can't have. But in Jesus, that peace is established. Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. He is our peace. Sin separates us from God, and really it separates us from people. The Jews and Gentiles were separated, and the law made that separation. But Christ has removed that. He is our peace. He's peace between Gentile and Jew, man and people and people, races and races. All that's removed in Jesus. We're all one in Christ and we're at peace with God. He's the Prince of Peace. Verse 15, He's made peace, reconciling them both to God in one body through the cross. And so verse 18, through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have to put our faith in Jesus because without it, we have no peace. Sin is still present. We're still God's enemy. We're at war with God until we have faith produced by His gospel that leads us to obeying His will, serving Him. The word grace also is in that Romans, the 5th chapter, when it says, by faith we have access into this grace in which we stand. We don't access grace except through faith. And Ephesians 2. By grace have you been saved? Through faith. It's the doorway. Faith brings us into God's favor. And so, without faith, there is no victory. Now abides faith. It's a good thing. We've got to have faith, or we'll be lost. A faith, as the Scripture defines, a faith that takes God at His word and does what He says, that trusts Him and obeys Him. But in Romans 5 also, there is hope's victory over sin's despair. Sin, while it brings death, separation from God, really sin is a place of despair and discouragement, helplessness and hopelessness. We can't save ourselves. Who's going to save us from that? Well, it's Jesus Christ, right? Romans 8. and verse 1. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ, then we have victory over the despair that sin brings. Verse 2. Note it says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoicing is the opposite of despair. Joy, the opposite of regret and doubt. No, there is confident hope that brings joy to our lives. In fact, verse 5 says, hope does not disappoint. It does not bring us to shame. Which is an interesting thought. Look at that. Keep that verse, but turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Because there it talks about faith in Jesus. About faith. It says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. And he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. It's the same word as disappoint. Faith does not bring us to shame. Hope does not disappoint, does not bring us to shame. So there's no despair in legitimate hope. And we need that. In a world where all around us, things seem to be falling apart. We need hope. Christ gives us a living hope. God does in Christ through the resurrection from the dead. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians 15. If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we're miserable people. He says, but now God has raised Christ from the dead, or Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Christ was the beginning of resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. There's no disappointment in hope. We're not brought to shame if we'll anchor our hope in Jesus Christ and a life of faith in Him and service to Him. Hope is intense anticipation, confident expectation. Paul had it. Discuss the words here in Philippians 1 and verse 20. He talked about his desire to come to Philippi, but the use of the words shows us how what it means within the context of our hope in Christ. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope. Earnest expectation. Hope is not just desiring something. It is an earnest, deep-seated expectation. We expect it to happen. We're confident it's going to happen. And we anticipate it. We're zealous for it. It doesn't disappoint. Christ is our hope of glory, Colossians 1 and verse 27. So, faith leads us to victory over sin. Hope brings us to a point in our life where we have victory over the despair that sin previously brought to our lives. And so we rejoice in hope. Chapter 5 of Romans and verse 2. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You expect that? Or do you just wish it to be so? We expect it. You see, brethren, heaven's more than just a chance. It's what we expect. It's what God's promised. And we trust His promise. We know it's going to happen. Now, it requires faith on our part. You see, faith, that's our part. That's condition. We don't live by faith. We can't expect heaven. But if we're living by faith, we expect heaven because God's promised it. That's the assurance of the gospel. We need to secure that hope within our heart. That expectation. You know, we do a lot of things expecting an outcome. Why are you living a Christian life? Because you expect an outcome. You expect heaven. Well, why do you expect it? Because God's promised it in His Son. Right? So, let's rejoice in that. We don't live a life of despair and doubt, shame and disappointment. The world does that and paints a facade over it in all kinds of material things as if that satisfies, and it never satisfies. But treasures in heaven do. And our hope is among the greatest of all treasures because, you see, it's helping us to persevere with assurance and expectation, to fight the fight and to run the race, you see, to keep the faith. Now, thirdly, in back to Romans 5, love in the heart is God's victory over sin. You see, this victory over sin by faith and through God's grace and so that we rejoice in hope, it all revolves around the love of God. Verse 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, before we dive into that just a little more in the book of Romans, look at 2 Corinthians 13:14. As he summed up, Paul did, summed up that letter to the Corinthians. He said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So here's grace that comes through Jesus. Here's God's love, and here is fellowship with the Spirit of God. He says, may that be with all of you. As you live a life of faith, as you're assured with a living hope of the future, live in grace, live in love, live in the fellowship of the Spirit. And the book of Romans goes on to talk about God's Spirit being in us, and we in Christ. The Spirit of Christ in us and we in Him. As he talks about the fellowship we have with the Spirit of God who's revealed truth to us and brought us to faith in our lives. And by that same word assured our hope. So that now God's love is spread abroad in our hearts. So that we can then live that love in turn to others. That we can show that love in our home. And in the church, and on the job, and to an enemy even. Because you see, that's the love that we've received from God. Love in the heart is at the heart of God's victory that He gives us over sin. Romans 8th chapter talks at some length about that victory and about our confidence in Christ and that if God is for us, who can be against us? Of course, the important question is, am I really with God? Is God really for me? Am I for Him? Am I living by faith? Am I living in hope? But then in verse 37, for example, he says, yet in all these things, that is, he's talking about things that cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Tribulation, persecution, and so forth. By the way, chapter 5, he said, those things just strengthen and secure our hope. Help us to persevere. But now he says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities and powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor created beings shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. More than conquerors. It got me thinking, well, if you're a conqueror, how can you be more than conqueror? How are you more than a conqueror if you've conquered? Right? And I believe he's simply emphasizing the surpassing victory that we have because he's described things that are of the flesh. But our victory transcends the flesh. It's spiritual. It's enduring. It's eternal. As God is and His love is. So that we're more than conquerors because, you see, we've anchored our hope in God. We walk by faith, trusting and obeying His Word. And so whatever comes to us in this world, our victory far exceeds those things. And so they don't separate us from God's love, Christ's love. In fact, they secure us to press ever forward. And so John could say, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even your faith. 1 John 5 and verse 3. I'm sorry, that's verse 4. Let me. Verse 3 is what I intended to say here. Let's go over there. I'm sorry, I confused myself. Verse 3, 1 John 5, 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. To not be separated from the love of God by the external pressures is because we live by faith, because we walk in hope and glory and rejoice in hope. And so, by keeping His commandments, we are kept in the love of God. Faith, hope, and love. Victory. Victory in those. Now abide faith, hope, and love. Faith in Christ brings victory over the world, sin, and death. Hope lifts our eyes above the temporal trials of the moment. We have health trials. We have emotional trials. We have relationship trials. We have all kinds of pressures from the world that would try to distract and discourage us. Hope lifts our eyes above all of those. Don't be drugged down by sin's despair, but elevated because of the hope that we have in Jesus. The fervent anticipation, the expectation of eternal glory. Enjoy and rejoice in that, walking by faith. And love. Walk in love that obeys and assures us that God loves us. And so walk in that love. Let's close tonight by looking at Jude, verses 20 and 21. I wasn't going to tell you when I started this might be shorter than usual, because I didn't know how long I'd end up going. Keep my options open here. But look at Jude 20 and 21. It pulls these things together. Our triplet is here again. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Where's the faith? He talks about your most holy faith. He says, build yourself up. Be strengthened, be edified in your most holy faith. God's Word does that, our trust in it. We talked recently about edification. He says, keep yourself, guard yourself, preserve yourself in God's love. By walking in love. By showing love to not only those who love you, but those who don't. Show it to all, as God does to us and to all. Looking for, there's the anticipation, there's the hope. Looking for the mercy of our Lord unto eternal life. We need His mercy. We need His compassion. Without it, we'd be lost. But in His mercy, there's grace in the death of Jesus that calls us to faith and to hope and to love. If you're not a Christian, the call of the gospel is to hear the call to have faith in Jesus, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. Hear the call that you can live in hope. Hope that though you're going to die, you're going to live. And live eternally in Jesus by walking in obedient love to Him. By becoming a Christian, repenting and being baptized, and then being faithful to Him as a child of God. We urge you to have faith, hope, and love. And to see the victory that will bring to you, not only now, but throughout eternity in the presence of God. Next week, we're going to study about the impact and influence of faith, hope, and love. So we look forward to more studies along this line. But tonight, if you need to be saved, you need to call upon God for His salvation in His way. Won't you let that be known while we stand, while we sing?